I've really gotten into Daft Punk over the past week.
Oh, nice. That's my coding.
It's
It's my coding music for the most part.
yeah, Alive 2007 is like the best album on the planet.
It is amazing. It's just
It's so good.
it slinks. It just moves into the background very nicely and just kind of
Yeah.
sits there and goes.
Alive
Exactly.
2007?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's that's what I like about techno. Like, it's there and it's plain, but it doesn't distract you at all. It's just kind of there.
Well,
I don't know.
good techno doesn't.
But yeah, and it all just kind of flows nicely into each part of it flows nicely into the other. Whereas dubstep, I figured out the difference between dubstep and techno. That's techno keeps moving. Dubstep like stops. Instead of having a beat, it feels like the whole thing just stops and then picks up again and stops. Like at each beat, it just sounds like it's ending.
Yeah.
Whereas techno just kind of grooves together, I guess.
We had a genius at the Apple store who listened to techno exclusively. Sadly, since I was the newest member, if I was there, I would have to listen to his music. So,
See,
but he listened to some crazy stuff though. That was
yeah, that's not, you don't want that. Techno's fun, but it's not a mono like music type
Yeah.
to listen to.
Yep.
Neither is country. Which is
Excellent point.
what we listened to nonstop at my last job.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which last job?
The ledger.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember what we listened to at the journal. There just wasn't much life there, period, so.
I don't recall any music being played.
No,
Right?
neither do
Like they'd
I.
have the TV running, the news on
Yep.
slow nights. But
Every night is a slow night at the Journal.
well, yeah, kind of in some way. I liked that job. I really did.
You should come back and work for the Journal, and you could live in New Ulm.
Don't
If
do it.
I'd no, I don't think I'd consider it at this point. I like the journal. I'm just I really like my current job, so I wouldn't leave it.
All right. I guess that's fair enough. So anything new, since this part will be cut out because Ty complains a lot, but is there
Oh
anything?
yeah.
It's
Leave it in
fine.
there to annoy him.
I really don't care. I don't
Any
know if you saw his comment on Facebook, but he's like, "My face is literally melting off due to boredom." And I was like, "I might like you better with a melted off face."
It's quite the improvement.
Wait, did he say that? He didn't say that about the island one, did he?
Yeah, I said
What?
wait. Well, we had 8 minutes of your car talk at the beginning of that one, and I think that was
Oh,
when.
that's right.
Ooh,
Which I did get a car. I did get a new car.
what did you
oh,
get?
nice.
I
Got the Mazda. You
I
got the
did.
Mazda.
I
Yes.
got the old Mazda. I couldn't
Yes.
believe it. I'm gonna be honest, like I did not know what to expect when I got there. That engine is dead silent.
Nice.
Like
Oh.
when it's idling, I should say. Obviously it needs to make some noise.
It's a
But for
magically
being
at a perpetual motion engine. It's great.
I can't believe how good of shape it's in for being 20 years old.
Oh, that is. I'm so glad you got the Mazda. That is awesome.
It
You
is.
have.
I hope it holds out.
Send pictures. Send
You know
pictures.
what? I will. I'll even send you a picture of my favorite part about the car is the front emblem, which is the old Mazda emblem.
Yes.
It's that old. It's not the M. It's like the two. It looks like two wings with a dot in them.
Oh, yes. How about you feel anything new?
Not particularly. I'm trying to do more stuff to get to ease the monotony of everyday life. Kind of like Sherlock, except I don't really have immediate access
Did you
to
see last
opium.
week?
I don't know if I can watch it at all unless it's on TV somewhere.
It was on
Like, that's what I
PBS
hear, but
here.
I don't know when, and I don't even know if we get
8 o'clock
if
Sunday nights.
I'll have to look it up. No, I didn't. I was hoping they'd have it somewhere online I could watch it, but maybe I'll have to
Yeah, they still only have the first season on Netflix. But I think the second should be coming out soon, because I'm pretty sure these Sherlock episodes have already aired in England. In fact, I know they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when Netflix will pick them up. But
I think the U.S. is usually like a whole season behind, isn't it?
Yeah,
usually I think with the release stuff.
Something like that.
Do that. But like, I don't know if Netflix runs off British schedule. Like, do they have to wait like a year after it comes out?
Hold on, I got Netflix on my iPad. I'll find out.
I mean, I don't know. I just know that the first season, the first three episodes are on there currently.
Which I really enjoyed.
And, yeah, the next two are... Because they've done two of the three for season two so far, and they've both been
Hound of the Baskervilles?
Yes.
Because they were talking about it on Framerate and said it was really well
this
done.
This week. It was. They did a good job with it. I wasn't sure how they were going to pull off a demonic hound.
It's not one of those things you normally run into in life.
Yeah, it actually worked pretty well.
Cool.
I think. Yep. And Community just finished tonight.
I know.
Season finale. I just got done watching it. Ran up here.
I'll watch it tomorrow. I haven't watched it yet. So.
Oh, they're all good. All three episodes tonight.
Oh, that's
they're
right.
All good.
It was a long one.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
So, and then we have the long hiatus of summer.
Which that's catch up time though. That's catch up time, so I can catch up on the Game of Thrones I haven't seen, the Fringe I haven't seen, the Sherlock, Community.
There's a lot of stuff to catch up on.
Yeah, too much to see.
Yeah.
Well, I think I did go and see Avengers.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
It does live up to its reputation.
Good.
Now, I'm
good.
Scared of the crowds.
It's okay, Jonas. It
was ridiculous.
Stay all the
Batman.
Way to the end. Like the very end. Like they have a really cool credit scene, and then they have kind of a bonus, and they have the real credits, and they have another bonus after that.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, so this is episode 16, and Phil, you can decide if you want to cut out everything that came before this or not.
Oh, I'm gonna have fun.
You do that. Well, I should say, the last episode, Phil did the editing, which is why it was so good. And so we're gonna have Phil do the editing for at least episode 16 too. And
was it really that good?
I thought it was. You took out all of the cruddy artifacts that usually sneak through on mine. And you also added some sound effects.
I did add sound effects. No one commented on
that.
What? Yes.
I didn't listen all the way through.
That's what you get for not listening.
There were some beach sound effects and some crickets.
And the crickets. When the crickets came on, I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. Because it was perfectly timed.
Yeah. I actually cut down some of those gaps where I asked a question and it was like,
yeah, it was like 30 seconds of Jonas and I not saying a word. The crickets were a perfect touch. So,
well, thank you, GarageBand, for having crickets.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But I wanted to give my props to Phil because the episode sounded really good last time, so I was impressed.
Well, thanks.
All right, so back to the fact that this is episode 16, and I think... I hope. I'm crossing my fingers. Phil might have to cut this. But I think Jonas has a topic for us today.
Yeah, I kind of do. I put a lot of thought into this.
Fantastic.
No. I put a lot of thought into the idea that I scrapped.
Oh, crud.
let me...
I hope that wasn't a good idea.
Well, I mean, I guess you can judge for yourself. Originally, I was going to ask... getting participation here, I was going to ask you guys, the two of you, fairly subjective questions.
Ooh.
And then have you alternate, which one of you gets to pick first which side they want to take, and then come up with arguments. So, for instance, like pirates or cowboys, which would you rather?
Oh man,
which would you rather be? And now, like, this is the first one. So, Phil, you get to go first on this one. You get to pick whichever side you want, and then you have to argue with Bob about it. And I was gonna award points.
Oh man! Oh, we will have to do a show like that. It reminds me vaguely of the Macworld Pundit Showdown on the Macworld podcast. That could be really good. That could warn us ahead of time if that's what you're gonna
yeah,
do,
well, that's the thing, because it's like I can't expect you like to come up with a bunch of cohesive arguments on which you prefer, jeans or khakis.
That's the point, though, right? You don't want cohesion.
Oh, I can do that, though.
You want.
That one's easy. It's that pirates or cowboys.
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. The next one's cake or cookies.
Oh man.
Well, then I went into topic two, which I wanted to discuss, just general discussion about movies and what you want to see in the future, and things that you'd find interesting, and then eventually, we could sit down and write our own script or movie, just general movie plot. Using people, like, because I was going to throw out the question, well, who's your favorite actor to see in, you know, a movie?
Oh,
I was
going
to write
good.
This down and do, like, a Mad Libs from all the best parts of movies and create the ultimate movie. That was idea two. That's gone. So, because, again, like, I don't know, it just didn't seem... Because I think we discussed movies. We discussed movies and TV quite a bit, and I'm like, that's not fun. So, I got at the... I'm like, well, what do we have, what do we all have in common that we can discuss? And this is going to sound a little weird initially, but stick with me on this.
Right.
High school.
Yes.
Thoughts. Not particularly, not just like our high school favorite things or things we hated about it, but just like in general, like what do you notice about current high schoolers? And things like that, and discussing
or high
education.
School as an institution and stuff like that.
And how, like, the American education system is right now, and what programs or what classes do there need to be more of, what should there be less of, is the style wrong, all that stuff. So I thought that'd be kind of an interesting discussion. And that is actually the last of three ideas. If we want to do any one of those three, we can. But I thought it'd be interesting to discuss high school, and it'd be kind of a break from our normal tech-centric island fantasies. I don't know. So I don't really. I guess just to kick off the discussion, my first question was. Your favorite part about high school? This will be followed by the question, what was your least favorite part about it?
Yeah, this should be. Favorite part about high school. Phil?
Oh, wow. I can hardly remember last week. Now I'll go back a couple years. More than a couple years.
Yeah, we're old.
We are officially old.
I was talking with a friend today, and he's like, made the comment that it's been 3 years, and I've been going on this whole, like, it's been 2 years, 2.5 years. I'm like, oh crap, we just had graduation. It's been 3 years since that's from college. Ugh.
So 7 years from high school.
Yikes. I'm sure there was something I really enjoyed about. Actually, you know what? When I think about high school, the thing I remember most is keeping a lawn chair in my locker and sitting at it before school every morning.
Yes, the lawn chair is good.
That's pretty genius. Because they banned sitting on the floor for a while, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Until they realized that wouldn't work. Because we weren't like allowed in the classroom, stuff like that. So it's like, what else are we going to do other than sit?
Oh, man.
In the hallway. Although the hallways were a bit narrow.
They're about a lot big. They have benches in them now.
Do they?
There's, in the new wing, there's benches... Not in the old.
This was gonna roll this was going to roll straight into my third question, which is, why is high school so much better and or worse than when we were there?
I think
the locker rooms
actually,
are better.
You know what? No, we'll put that back till three. Okay. Still right, favorite things. I did like the lawn chair, though. Good.
It was good.
Good call. Looking back on it, I must have had a lot of free time in high school, now that I think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what did I do with my time? I didn't have that much homework.
Oh, no. There was no homework in high school.
But the thing is, and now I guess I'm going to violate the pushing off to the third thing. I see a lot of high schoolers, when I was covering for the journal, and you know, you do a lot, obviously, with high school sports. It's not like there are pro teams in the area. the kids, and I have to call them that now, the kids in high school are super busy. They are super busy. Like, a lot of them, where they're doing, like, a million things. Like, band, choir, sports, whatever, other extracurriculars. And they do this, like, season round. Like, a lot of them are in multiple seasons of sports. And I've come to the conclusion that high schoolers have a lot of energy, and it's not fair.
I agree.
I agree with that. Wasted all that energy on
youth
high school.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Exactly. I could sure use some of it now. Man.
Yeah. Stupid high schoolers. Their baggy jeans and their hormones.
They'll all go away in time.
Yeah.
Every high schooler gets old at some point.
True.
I guess my favorite thing from high school was probably, like, some of the extracurricular stuff that I did. Knowledge Bowl was one of them.
Knowledge Bowl was great.
Knowledge Bowl was fantastic.
Indeed.
But even, like, Chargaleers and Jazz Band and stuff. I mean, I enjoyed those things, along with choir and band, that stuff, a ton more than pretty much any of the classes I ever took part in. Except for your dad's classes.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than biology, physics were the
biology
greatest classes
ever. Amazing. It was amazing.
I don't think he listens to the podcast.
Oh,
well,
okay,
he should
thank God.
Be.
He said it was going to. I don't think he has yet, so.
Shame on Mr. Wells. Well, shame on the older Mr. Wells. Getting confusing now, that was probably my favorite part of high school, because we'll get to my least favorite part, but that's coming up. But, I mean, yeah, that'd be my favorite thing. Knowledge Bowl is probably, thinking back, those are some of the best times. It was Knowledge Bowl and going to the meets and talking about just ridiculous things on the bus rides, because when you get all of us together, we're going to talk about weird stuff.
The nerdy black hole.
It is.
The nerd singularity.
It just keeps falling in on itself, and it gets denser and denser the farther you go in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, Bob. I did drama as well, but just kind of I don't remember the classroom. That wasn't my favorite part. It was the stuff beyond the classroom that was fun.
I agree. How about you, Jonas?
What, my favorite thing?
Yeah.
Well, the free time, like I said, was good. Knowledge Bowl was very good. That extracurricular. Just hanging out with people. I think in high school, you're, like I said, full of energy, and if you don't have anything to do, then you're free to do ridiculous things around town.
like laser tag with cars.
Yeah. I don't... Well, no, it's several years after the fact, and I'm sure there were some moving violations involved, but I think they have to report those within 4 hours of them happening. So, here, the story is, for anybody who doesn't know, I don't think is very many people who actually do know. In high school one time, me and some other people we went to high school with, we took two sets of home laser tag units, so four guns, four detectors, and duct taped the detectors to the sides of cars. One on each side of a car, and there were two cars, and we drove around shooting each other around town. We probably almost crashed on several occasions, but it was awesome.
That's high school.
And that's high school. That was a very that was a good part of high school. Tagging cars.
I'm not condoning this.
If anybody in high school is listening or not in high school, don't do that. Don't be me. It was awesome, but don't do it.
I was gonna say the statute of limitations is like what, 7 years or something like that. So we just passed
just outside
it.
Probably.
But oh yeah, well I honestly do think moving violations have to be reported by police within 4 hours of them occurring.
I think you're safe then.
Yeah, I mean if it had been a felony, then it'd be open season.
I guess. I would be neglecting one of the cool things about high school for the three of us, which is the Trebuchet project.
Another extracurricular.
Exactly. Something that was outside. So, really, it was just youth and getting a whole bunch of weird youths together and doing youthful stuff was the best thing about high school. If I'm catching your drift, though, Jonas, the next question is the inverse of this, right?
Yeah. Well, what did you not like?
Homework.
We'll take. I think just like I'm with Phil, the schoolwork in general, or even a lot of the classes, not every one of them, but a lot of them just weren't engaging, didn't really see the point. Even now, after going through college and living for a few years outside of college, still don't really see the point, you know. It was kind of, you just went and did the work. At least that was the way I approached it.
And thinking
back now, I almost feel like I should have put less effort into things and put more effort into the extracurricular stuff than I did.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of a good point.
Looking back, you kind of realize, like, yeah, there were certain classes where, I mean, it's good. A lot of good general knowledge to have, and I feel like much better off having read some of these books and knowing a little bit more of this geography here and a little bit more of this history here. But ultimately, I haven't used any of it since I took those quizzes that asked me to learn it. And it's like there's been a number of other things that have come up in my time after high school where it's been like, you know, it would have been nice if there would have been a class on this. Or at least, you know. Or at least a class that touched on this.
The lack of a feeling of general preparedness for life after high school is probably one of my greatest disappointments from high school.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in my experience, college didn't do a bang-up job preparing you for life after college. So I can't even imagine if I hadn't gone.
Yeah.
Like, if I had wanted instead to, do, like, an apprenticeship right away, or do, like, a learn-in-trade type of thing, I would have been completely screwed. Like, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, but I guess nobody really thinks of high school as it's supposed to. Not meant for that. Like, it's meant to get you to a state-certified level of competence.
Yeah. I think that's too bad, to an extent.
It is. And this is kind of ultimately where I thought, like, the discussion would go. Like, I'm not sure how else to do it, though. I mean, you need some kind of standard for educating, I guess. I mean, maybe not. Maybe we could set up a high school system where you just had to go to high school for 4 years and just kind of do your own thing, or they had multiple programs. And I know people are pushing for, like, trade programs already in high school, stuff like that, to get people prepped. I kind of like the idea, but that's stupid.
I don't even know if trade programs are the right way to go with it, though.
Because
I'm not talking about, like, job preparedness. Because to an extent, I think job preparedness should be handled on a per-job basis. The people who are hiring you should be handling your job preparedness.
That's true.
But it's the life skills. It's the when I buy a car, what do I have to know when I buy a car? How do you handle money? Like, stuff like that.
Set up your finances, loans, purchasing.
I think there was, at least at our high school, there was a personal business class, but it
was optional.
I think it was optional, and two, I don't think incredibly in depth. I didn't take it. But,
neither did. No. Mm-mm.
I didn't. Yeah. It was just a one semester brief thing. Like, I think they learned how to change oil once.
And you know, the hard part is, you know, it comes down to a whole where do you receive knowledge part. Like, okay, personal finances, should you be getting your information from your parents? Like, should they be teaching you that at home, or should there be like a general curriculum designed around teaching people how to make wise decisions with their money, so they don't have to make a whole bunch of dumb decisions before they get to the wise ones?
Well,
that's true. That's very true. Some people...
I would argue that, like, with almost all of the stuff that you'd be learning in high school, you would at least receive some of that knowledge at home from the parents. I mean, you're not going to necessarily learn all of Greek mythology, but, you know, there's exceptions, but it's like... But that being said, we're at a point right now where people are just not very good at managing money to begin with. So are those people supposed to be teaching, like, blind leading the blind here?
Yeah.
Not to mention that we have extremely busy high school students who are growing up and becoming extremely busy parents who are staying busy and no one has time for anything.
True.
Now, I don't know if we can really comment too much on something I've thought of a lot of times, is the proliferation of high school sports as just being like an overgrown spectacle to an extent. Because I didn't play any of high school sports. I actually dropped out of basketball to join Knowledge Bowl. And I don't think either one of you played any other high school sports.
Not remember.
Well,
lineman. I'm skinny.
Sorry.
That's the
I'm
joke.
So...
No, I was not in any high school sports.
No, but you know, to an extent, it seems that almost more emphasis is put on, you know, the athletic endeavors of students than it is on I would call it preparedness, or you know, the academic side and other things that supposedly you're supposed to carry with you longer through life, but. You know, maybe someone would become a sports star. You never know. But it just seems like a misplaced, you know, priorities aspect there. And the amount of resources and time that's devoted to athletics compared to the amount of resources and time sometimes that are devoted to, say, a personal finances course or a computer programming course for the students who would be interested in the computer sciences, or... You know, those sorts of things. The stuff that gets cut first before anyone even talks about maybe not getting new uniforms for the basketball team this upcoming season. You know, so I think, at least in the U.S., it seems there's maybe a misplaced priority on what's important and what's expendable.
The other thing is, I mean, high school, I have often heard the argument that high school is chance, like almost the one chance that kids have to find out about like team sports, some level of like hard work. I'm not saying that grade school, some grade school programs aren't intense. I'm just saying that, like, it is an experience to be on, like, high school sports team that can state, blah, blah, blah. Which I think that in some ways people wouldn't get elsewhere. I mean, I know that high school football results in, you know, a ton of injuries every year. But it's still I guess there's probably an overemphasis on it a lot of times, and with coming from a lot of parents too. But I mean, sports reporting, it's never the students. It's never the students who are the crappy fans, people.
No.
Never, never. It is the parents. The parents. They are the worst ones to deal with. Just you're, and it gets, the worst I ever saw was one school, and I don't think I'm going to, no, I am going to name it, Sleepy Eye Public. You fans suck. Anytime I see parents jeering kids from other teams, the adults jeering the kids on the court, that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I covered a number of games there, and every time they were the worst fans I had ever seen. So step it up, Sleepy Eye Public.
And maybe that's what I'm getting at too, is it's not just at the high school, like within the high school itself, the students and everything, but society in general and their, I don't know how to really put it, but their, you're gonna have to cut this out, Phil.
Okay.
their overemphasis on sports, like the amount of investment people put into following a sports team, and I'm guilty of the same thing a lot of times, you know, as opposed to the amount of investment they put into, like, going back, like personal finances, or, you know, reading a good book, or those sorts of things, you know, things to that expand the mind or that keep you fresh on top of topics. Take the upcoming election, because it's 2012, you know, the amount of investment in keeping on top of political things so you know what's going on in this country.
Kent.
You know?
I'm sorry. I have an important announcement.
Are you running?
What?
Lyra 2012?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Right, this is better than that.
Lyra 2016?
No, this is way better than me doing any kind of political office. This Saturday... No, not this Saturday. I'm sorry. That'd be the 19th. the 26th of May, 2012. Toonami is back on Cartoon Network. This is big, people.
Darn, I was really hoping for Lyra 2012.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted like that.
I think that's awesome.
Toonami's back. Because the... I don't know if you guys knew that they, or maybe I even mentioned that on April Fool's.
Oh, that's right.
They ran Toonami at night for like 8 hours as part of that was Cartoon Network's April Fool's joke, and they got hammered with mail from people to bring it back, and so now they are in fact bringing Toonami back, and I am. That actually makes me really happy. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's
high
fine.
School and whatnot. It's, there is, I think, you know, every few decades you need to, schools need to stop and think about how to restructure themselves. And right now we have, I think, high schools very get them to college minded. That's the thing. Yeah, get them to college.
Agreed.
Get them to college. And so it is. It becomes kind of like extended grade school, where you don't learn any critical thinking in high school. Not really.
Yeah.
You just learn more basic facts. Yeah.
It's college prep to an extent.
Yeah, which is stupid because that what are the people who don't want to go to college supposed to do? And I
not even don't want to go to college but can't afford it anymore.
Well, that I mean that's a whole different thing. I mean, college has turned into such a tradable. I mean, it is a commodity now, and that's part of the thing.
Yep.
High school is set up to get you to college, so people leave high school. All they know how to do is go to college.
Yep.
A lot of times, that's what they've been prepped for. If they don't, props to them for being able to go out and deal with the real world right away. That's impressive to me. It genuinely is.
Yeah.
But it just preps people to go to college, and then college has gotten so overly populated. Well, we already talked about this, didn't we?
A little bit.
Like 2 weeks ago?
We did. Which I don't remember if I said this or not. I was going to, and that when we were talking about this before. But one of the things I really miss from school is the change every 6 months.
Agreed.
And I almost feel like we have too much schooling because suddenly when I graduate from college, I realize that I have done nothing my entire life, but every 4 to 5 months, everything changes. Or every half year, I get a new set of classes. I get a new schedule. I get to try something new. And now suddenly, I'm out in the job market, and I get a job, and I'm doing the same thing every day. And 6 months later, I'm doing the same thing I was 6 months ago. And there's no variety. There's no change. And it's like, I almost feel like I spent too much time. Like, I spent the first, 21, 22, 23 years of my life.
What is it?
With this nice routine, and now suddenly it's completely gone.
Yeah. I mean, especially considering you start school, if you go to preschool, like age, what, five?
Five. Four or five, yep.
Sorry. And then when you consider the fact that you don't even start remembering things until about the age of three, you have all but 2 years of foggy memories. By the time you get to age 22, the only thing in your life that hasn't been school has been a very foggy 2 years somewhere before you started preschool.
Yeah.
Or kindergarten or whatever, 3 years. I totally agree with you, Phil, on that. You've been very much trained to learn, accumulate knowledge, accumulate facts as fast as we can and not ever need to apply them. I think that's kind of how the school structure works.
Yep.
Spend more time, especially, I mean, college, it's a little bit different, but spend a lot of time just learning how to deal with classes. That's what you become good at. You're trained to get through classes. Like, you know how to remember facts, and you know what you need to study, and you know how to go about passing a class. But I don't think it does necessarily a good job of, I mean, it, at least for me, like, and this, what I was saying before about how they want to start getting kids on tracks in high school, on training tracks, there's like a science track or something like that. This will help kids put more focus into that so that when they get to college, they can really go at it and get further ahead. And it's kind of like the idea that if we nationally, if we do this, we can produce people who can go further than we have before. We can push, like, we can set up systems that will, right from high school, be training kids to be good, be very good engineers, very good scientists, very good,
those
are the two main ones that we're concerned about.
The other thing, and I remember kind of talking about this a little bit in a math class, is that in some of these fields, especially in the science and the math fields and whatnot, to get to a point where you can actually push the field farther is very, very hard to get to, because they have to give you all this general info, and then since they're kind of teaching you on this general track, they give you a little bit of everything. But to actually dive into like a certain field or a certain branch of mathematics, it takes so long to get to that point, and everything you learn is like what's already been done. Like there's nothing. It's not like there's nothing left, but it's like you never really get to a point where you can, where you've learned everything, or you can push the field farther.
But yeah, the thing is, and I mean, I guess the answer to that would be train them earlier, train them younger. But then you have the problem with you don't know what each person is going to turn out like, and that's what I have against track systems. It's just like, I know if I had done track systems in high school, I'm dead certain I would be in mathematics right now, possibly chemistry. Like that's where I would be. Math, maybe engineering or chemistry or something like that. And I would, that's just a different type of pigeonholing. I mean, we're talking about making kids, prepping kids in high school to get ready to go to college. And right now, at least we're not telling them, you know,
at least right away, what they have to do.
I understand the functional purpose of it, and that, yes, it will get you a job. Like, if you learn a bunch of science, if you're on the science track in high school, then you'll go to a good science college, and then you'll get a job. You'll graduate from there, and you'll get a good job doing something. I understand that. I'm just not very certain that will make you extremely happy, and I think if you try and impose that, especially with it would work if we were in more dire straits as a society, like if we really needed to be generating these types of people, like I'm thinking like wartime type of thing, where you're trying to train groups of people early on. But I just feel like you get a ton of people who parents are going to be deciding for them in, you know, the sixth grade, oh, they're going to do this, and then they're going to get through high school, and then they're going to want to change doing something else that fits them, what they feel is them, better, and they absolutely will not be able to jump tracks.
And another thing too is when you have that choice made earlier, you allow other people to make those choices, like you were saying.
Right.
So you're going to have a glut of people in the choices that are highly desirable. And you're going to have a smaller number of people filling those that are quote unquote less desirable, even though they might be just as essential, but they'll be less desirable for whatever reason. Hard work, low pay, you know, not glamorous.
You know, I agree. I mean,
you get distortions in that way.
The track, if you do a track system, it is like you are asking for there to be a new caste system.
Yep.
Like you are asking for it to happen. And this is already what's happening with prepping kids for college, like, or in high school, training them only to be ready to go to college afterwards. Are creating the idea that that like that's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to college, it's because you weren't good at high school.
You're a failure.
Yeah. You failed true. High school. You didn't accomplish the goal of high school, or you didn't want to do the goal of high school, so therefore you failed that. And it's just stupid. And if you that, then you're gonna, like, for instance, again, track system, if you had science track, then somebody gets to their junior year of high school, senior year of high school, they discover, you know what, I'd really rather do
literature.
Theater. Yeah, literature, theater, something like that. And then have them not only possibly not being able to get into school because they weren't on the literature track, but you also have them looking like they failed their track. Like, have them, they're going to be rejected by the people that they left, the group that they left, and then they're going to be not welcomed by the group that they're going into. And it's just, I don't get why you'd want to slide that silly.
You know, another distortion that's happened because essentially we've turned it into elementary school and then elementary, advanced, college prep, college, is that you've kind of moved the needed degree up a rung from where it was before.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, if you graduate high school, you can make a living, make a decent living. You now need to get a bachelor's degree. Well, you know, that's not even going to do it anymore. Now you need a master's degree. Or, well, you surely get two masters, you know, because that's really desirable. Well, even, you know, you really need to get a doctorate. So then you're talking about, you know, you're going to school not just for 20 or 18 years or whatever. Or we'll go 12. K to 12 is 13, 14. So about 18 years, we'll say, of school. If you go from pre-K through a bachelor's degree, you're talking maybe another 4 years. So you're talking 22 years worth of just, like, constant schooling to get to the point where you're, you know, quote-unquote, employable. You know,
yeah.
What? I mean, you've now wasted a person's life for 20-some years, you know, going through this education system. And then you get to the place where Phil is, because I remember this feeling, too. You get out of college and you're like, well, all I know is how to game the system.
Yeah.
In order to get grades.
Yeah,
that's what I've been doing.
And, yeah. And also just not being prepared to, like, take, well, I mean, doing homework is kind of taking orders, not quite the same way. Like, you're going to have a boss in, and you're going to be doing a lot of the same stuff day in and day out, and you need to become okay with that and stuff like that. I feel like college and master's programs have a lot of control that people get over what they want to do, they get to do. And that's good. That's good. It is good, because high school and grade school are not like that. High school and grade school, you're told what to do, and now you get freedom in college and in master's programs and stuff like that. But at the end of it, it is still not having any real-world experience. And the fact of the matter is, like, for a lot of jobs, practical jobs, unless you're going to become a professor and that's your goal, to remain in academia, like, it becomes very, very difficult. Like, if you say, I've got my master's in literature and my master's in journalism or something like that, you go out and get two masters, and then you try and get a job as, like, an editor at a company, they're going to say, no, what we needed from you is we needed you to have a bachelor's degree, and then we needed to train you in on it. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, you need to take a lower job initially. A lot of times you need to take something, you need to start down on the totem pole a lot of times when you graduate. But the thing is, people who have a lot of education are perceived to be more flexible, that they're a bigger risk to employ, I think. For instance, for me, if I, and this happened a lot after I graduated college, I'd, you know, couldn't find any jobs in English or something like that, so I'd try and get a job doing, like, manual labor or something like that, you know, 3M assembly line or AI or something like that. I try to get a job there. And if they look at somebody who says, okay, person needs a job, but based on their record, you know, this isn't exactly what their field is going to be. And they have some flexibility, like, I don't know, it just seems like it's a risky thing for them to hire somebody who has a lot of schooling and no experience, because that person, that schooled person, is probably got something in mind that they're going to. If it lines up, if you, you know, get your master's in journalism and then you want to start working at a paper, great. But there aren't jobs, there aren't always jobs available like that, and so try and do something different for a while. I feel like a lot of education in an area can really hinder you, because it's not as good as experience. It gives you kind of a... It makes it risky for the employer.
Because they have to put money into training you.
Right, exactly.
It costs them money to hire an employee.
Right. And if they're like, oh, if this person's just going to be here for 2 years to get some money and then leave, then no. I'd rather take somebody who we can mold. And I appreciate it when companies do that, when they take somebody who doesn't have a huge amount of background in a field. Like, they have some background and definite interest, and they say, you know what, that's enough. We don't need you to have a doctorate or 20 years, 5 years experience or whatever. No, we're willing to hire you without that experience and then train you how we want you to be, like do all the training in-house. I really like it when companies do that instead of just looking for somebody who has a lot of experience right away. That's stupid. That's a very hard group of people to find. And chances are, if somebody has 15 years experience in a field, then they're probably at a company that they want to be at, if they were able to get 15 years in.
Now, I remember two things, and I don't remember the exact time of when I was told these two things, but I remember, I think in grade school, possibly high school, I remember being told that the job I would have probably didn't exist at the time, or at very least that a lot of people were, you know, stuff was changing so much and technology was growing that the jobs that we would have when we were 10 years, 15, 20 years older probably didn't exist at that time. I also remember somewhere along the line hearing about how usually people switch jobs or careers even, like completely different lines of careers X many times in their life or in their like whatnot after college. And I think some of that might play into the whole educational system and how we're training things, but it's
there's a lot of overlap. Yeah. I think that's why. I don't think, you know, have, and a lot of mobility, I have heard that before, that the average person born in, like, 1950 or had, will change careers on average, like, twice. They'll have three careers in their life, three different careers, whereas people in our generation will have, like, 10 or whatever. But the thing is, like, term career, that's kind of a dangerous, especially now, there are so many gray lines, gray areas, sorry.
Gray hairs, so many gray hairs.
No, whatever.
Shoot, I had a thought, now I lost it, keep going.
Oh, sorry. There's so many gray areas for careers. Like, you can be a PR specialist at one company and then go to a different company and be a director of internal communication. And those are the same training, but those are considered two different. Whereas before computers slash media went berserk, for a lot more rigid things. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's like that way. I don't think it's because people are incredibly cross-trained. I think it's because the careers are so blended.
And it's a reflection, too, of the times a little bit as well. I mean, people are just looking to start anywhere now because jobs are, I mean, they're scarce, you know? A lot of people are underemployed. And a lot of people have no employment, and they'll take whatever. So then you're going to automatically have at least a career switch, if not two or three, just to kind of get your footing. So the numbers, you know, and I always laugh at the whole, you know, the jobs you're going to have or haven't even been invented yet. Well, that's true. But there are plenty of jobs that we're going to need new people for that are here. I'm thinking artisans, plumbers, electricians, you know, construction, you know, this is all stuff that, yeah, I, you know what? It's not glamorous. It's not glamorous. But the fact of the matter is, I have a hard time doing electrical work, and there are plenty of people who have no business touching an electrical box that, you know, there's going to be a need for those people in the future. And there's a lot of other things, too. Engineers, you know. Sure, there are going to be plenty of new jobs that haven't been made in the future, but there are going to be ones that have been around for a while that have really gotten the short shaft in this whole, you got to go to college, you got to get a degree, and if you, as soon as you get a degree, then you're set. Then you should be able to, you can touch the moon. You can kiss the sun. You can whatever hyperbole you want to use. You know? But the fact of the matter is, you still have to live. You have to be realistic with what you're getting yourself into.
That is, yeah, that's true. And I like that point, that there are loads of new jobs, new types of jobs being created, and a job you may have future, one that isn't even invented yet. Well, that doesn't mean the old ones are going anywhere. And no, I mean, not to disagree with you, Bob, but I don't think any job is glamorous. A job is a job, no matter what.
But those are the jobs you hear about when you're talking to recruiters and you're talking to people about college in the future. Is they're always, they always tout, you know, you're going to make $50,000 right when you get out of college, or, you know, you're going to be able to work in whatever company you want, because you'll have a degree from here. Because we, you know, we have job placement. 98% of our graduates get, you know, a job placement or whatever. Like, right. Those are that's the stuff that kids are just heaped with, starting from grade school. You got to do well in grade school so you can do well in high school, so you can get into a good college, so you can get an awesome job. Well, if everyone's on that path, no one's on that path.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, also colleges do that. They compete with each other fiercely for people, because they tell them things like that. You do get fed a lot of stuff about, like, how great a college is, 98% job placement. And there are a lot of schools that do have a good job, you know. A lot of students do get hired. Good job placement. I don't know if it's quite job placement, but they have a high hiring rate for the graduate class, and those are usually very specialized schools, engineering schools in particular.
Nursing too.
That jobs that are in demand right now. But the thing is, you're right, colleges many times have to shovel a lot of stuff down people's throats. Or not shoveling down the throat. I guess you'd shovel it into their ears, technically.
Yeah.
They throw a lot of stuff at them there.
Some orifice somewhere.
Yeah. And they have to do this. They have to keep trying to out-advertise other colleges because there's a market to get college students right now. And
because it's big money. It's huge money.
Because everybody thinks they need a degree, and this is a cyclical thing. We keep creating jobs for people to promote getting, like, living a certain way.
Yeah.
And doing things a certain way. And then when you do that, then you just create more people for that field, and it's problematic.
You know, it's like a freeway. You know, if there's a few people going down, everyone gets to go their way as fast as they want. They can get there quickly and they have a good time. But if you just jam it full of everyone, then everyone's at a standstill, and you know, it's just very slowly moving. I mean, that's what's happened with college, and why. Well, now you have an express lane. You got yourself a master's degree. Well, no, now you've got the toll lane. You have to do two master degrees. You know. They keep adding more lanes to try and get, you know, this is the way to go fast. This is the way to get ahead in life. You go and do more stuff because they've essentially told everyone that you have to do this. So everyone does it, and then no one gets there because everyone's doing it. It's the whole, you want to be unique. Well, everyone wants to be unique. Well, not everyone's normal because no one's unique.
Yeah.
You know?
You yeah, can't distinguish Mac fans.
You can't distinguish yourself. You can't set yourself apart when you have the same degree everyone else has.
That's true.
Then you rely on experience.
Which you don't have.
One of the things I wish I would have done more or learned more or had more of was stuff on interviews. And kind of with the job hunt,
yeah.
But really with the interviews and resumes. And we're pushing that more in our studio program, especially for those getting into media arts and broadcasting. And we're doing resume work with them, and they're having people come in and talk. And honestly, I learned more listening to some of these people talk for 2 hours than like anything that they did with the resume stuff at school and the little workshop I had to go through before I graduated. And the same thing at NAB, just to hear some of these people who are in the industry talking about things and how they hire and what to do and how to act and how to behave, it's just phenomenal. I was going to mention one of the things, I forget the lady's name at NAB, but she was doing a resume talk. They suggested the book Strength Finders 2.0 by Tom Rath. And I'll put a link in the show notes. You can get it from Amazon for like $14. But apparently I think one of the versions comes with a CD or a DVD or a code for a website or something. So you can, actually take their little test and, find out a little more about where your strengths lie. But, that's definitely something I wish there would have been more of when I went to school.
You know, it's another example of something that would be great to push down to the high school level in some fashion.
Yeah.
You know? Because there are a group of kids who, you know, as much as society might say you have to go to college, they're not going to go because it's just not for them.
Right. Well, the thing is...
And they need to have these skills too, because they're going to be out there and leaving them unprepared because high school is just college prep is negligence. It's just gross negligence. There's some need for it, I think.
I just realized something that I think maybe one of the reasons that there's so many people, more people willing to go to college, get like a tech degree, because I would have been fine in high school, like leaving high school and getting a, doing air or
an associate's degree, you know?
Yeah,
raise his hand.
Security. That would have been good. But the thing is, and I'm just realizing it, it's the people or the schools and the people trade stuff, I guess you'd call blue collar stuff, they do not have a very good advertising or PR system set up, do they? I mean, colleges spend a lot of money on that, and a lot of careers build prestige around what they do, and I think that's very interesting because we've been trained to respond to that as a society. We're trained to respond to advertisements and stuff like that, and it is these older jobs, modern jobs are in step with this, but the older jobs aren't playing ball in the same way because it's always been. Like, oh, people always come to us because, you know, there's always people who who want to become electricians, stuff like that. Well, you got to get the word out.
It's funny you mention. It's funny you look at that because, you know, it really ties back into our nature and stuff like that. We look for strength, and maybe that's part of our fascination with life athletics and stuff, because it's like it's the survival of the strong, the survival of the fittest, you know. And the same thing with colleges, like which college is the strongest, which college is the most prestigious. Like those are the ones we got to go to because we got to latch onto those guys because they know what they're doing. Obviously, well, you know. Maybe.
Yeah.
They're strong for a reason, you know, and it might be way in the past because they were some of the first, as some of the colleges are. But, you know, I'm in the same boat you are, Jonas. Looking back, and I'm usually not a person who says, oh, I wish I could have changed this, because, you know, you change one thing in your life and who knows how the rest of the dominoes
fall.
Yeah,
that's true.
But one thing I do say is, if I would know what I know now, where I want to be, I would have probably gone to a 2-year college, got an associate's degree in some kind of trade like computer programming, you know, web development or something, and then gotten out and work right away. And then in the future, maybe gone back and got a bachelor's in something, you know, something specific that I felt like I needed to fill my holes with. But that would have probably been after I'd established myself in a career or something. So I would have an idea of where I need to focus my energies on.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. And I think a lot of people who also go to college, it's, they'll pursue whatever you're, you know, kind of interested in. You do end up with a lot of people who go and get will get degrees in art or literature, in a lot of cases, theater, because it's what they're kind of interested in. And there are plenty of people who go on to make viable careers out of the things, but I think a lot of people pursue stuff that they should really treat more as a hobby, as like a future.
I guess we should preface this all with saying we're not anti-intellectual by any means.
No.
We don't want people to be stupid. We don't want them to, like, never learn anything.
No, but... and at this exact same time, I also don't want to come off as being patronizing or something like that. Like, oh, we need to, you know, here are three guys sitting around with bachelor's degrees talking about how, you know, the real working heroes are blue-collar workers. How could we relate to that or anything like that?
Yep.
I don't mean to sound patronizing or anything like that. On the other end of things, it's I don't know. My viewpoints are a direct product of the current economy and the current job situation for America and a lot of the world where we have created a shortage for ourselves by not properly training high school.
Well, I think you two would agree too. I mean, we have an education system right now that was really, you know, set up and set in stone for the industrial age. Like that's when it came, that's when the current practices and everything kind of gelled themselves into being. Like the whole system is kind of around the factory. And that's what it's set up to be. And I feel there has to be a change coming because that isn't the time we live in anymore. And I think there's got to be a better way to do things, a better allocation of resources than how we're currently spending money and how people are getting into debt to get their degrees. You know, there has to be a better allocation of resources available than the system we currently have. Like that's how I feel, at least. Of course, I work at a college, so, you know, I'm inundated with this stuff, and I have an education degree, so I went through, you know, 4 years of learning about the history and learning about the pedagogy, or at least a little bit of it, and observing classrooms and seeing kind of how things are done. So I do come with some biases intact.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think there's an easy answer to our current situation. I mean,
no.
I think a lot of, I think it's Teller of Penn and Teller fame, describes art as what we do when the chores are done, pursue chores are done. And I think we've just kind of gotten to a point where it's kind of created a generation of students and stuff like that who have wanted to pursue art and stuff like that. And that's fine, but I think fine for people to do that, but I think a lot of us forgot about the fact that the only reason we can do that is because so many generations before us didn't.
Yeah.
That's kind of the situation we're at now. And it's going to, in the future, going to be a problem where there might be a fair amount of artists in the future who are not going to get their chance because they needed to recoup the numbers that our generation didn't put out into the functional working. But maybe not. I mean, there might be plenty of people who went and got degrees in philosophy who are now learning, going back to, like, doing apprenticeships right now. Just decided that they want to be able to contribute.
I'll have a link to another book called Shop Class as Soulcraft. That talks about a guy who had multiple degrees, was working as a knowledge worker for the State Department, and then he quit and opened a motorcycle shop.
Nice.
Because that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, I'll get you that link to Amazon. So, oh, never mind, Phil. You have that link to Amazon.
Oh yeah.
I should know better. You're always on top of this stuff. You are. It's a good book. I read it actually while I was in California. So, that was my late night reading. Cool book. So, anything else? Or, I mean, that was a good topic, Jonas. I applaud you.
Well, I wanted to talk about prom.
Yes. Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it. No, we got time. We got time.
Stupid or not stupid? It's not. It's necessary. It's gotta have something to look forward to. It might seem stupid, but like culturally,
yeah, sure.
It needs to exist. I think. Sorry, that was kind of pointless.
No. I mean, you bring up good points, though. I mean,
yeah, I just realized
in high school, in junior year, I thought it was dumber than a box of rocks. Like, I would probably have honestly rather have, like, sat at home playing a video game. You know, the normal nerd stereotype that you hear about. But you know, senior year, I changed my tune a little bit, and looking back, it's fine. You know, people get into it. I think it's ridiculous when people spend $1,000 on a dress, but I mean, someone's got to make money somehow, right? So you might as well fabricate prom or in Valentine's Day to do it.
Yeah, the only reason I bring up prom and stuff like that is because I honestly do feel like we just probably spent about 40 minutes talking about a prom, which there is no fix with the whole culture be what people want to do, everything else,
yeah,
and societal needs.
My mom works in the floral business, so it's a good time of year.
Here's a question. High schoolers, why are they so loud and disrespectful these days?
Because we're older. Darn it. And we were never that loud, nor disrespectful. We were probably louder. But we were never as disrespectful.
Agreed.
You're dumb in high school, honestly.
Oh,
I really.
Any high schoolers listening, you are the stupidest thing on the planet
right now.
You're going to regret half the things you do in high school. You are so stupid, you don't even realize it yet. I know you're thinking right now, no,
what?
I'm not. You are.
You are
dumb.
You're dumber than you could possibly
imagine.
How did that go from Red versus Blue? Where he's like... Think of a drawing
you
did
10
years ago.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
No.
10 years ago. Did you like it? No. You were an idiot.
Oh, man. There's something about adolescence putting us all together. Just the dumbest. Oh, just amazing how stupid we are in high school. We care about the dumbest things. We get upset about the most ridiculous stuff. And you're in for a major reality check when you actually get into the real world and you're like, wow, you know what? Strapless dresses did not matter. They really didn't. They did not matter. That was just something from when we were in high school that was a big deal 1 year.
Yeah, or band t-shirts. Who cares?
Band
t-shirts.
Who cares? Wear a different shirt, right?
High school is... High schoolers are the definition of people who have been given an inch and are trying to take a mile. Like, they want things to be a big deal so badly, but just not. High school, something's a big deal. It isn't. Sorry.
Nope. I agree. Man. And we speak as people who used to be just as dumb as you are. I mean, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
It just...
I'm still mostly as dumb as...
Exactly. But we have a little bit more perspective later on in life. And I think, you know, it's not all bad, but it's, you will look back and think, wow, I was really dumb.
That's high school. I'm going to go watch some Saved by the Bell.
No, Boy Meets World. Come on.
That would be the better of the options.
Yeah, that's good. Is that all we have on the high school thing, Jonas?
I think so. Unless you want to discuss high schoolers with superpowers, that seems to happen quite a bit.
You're talking
Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, presumably.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now that that movie Chronicle out. Usually, then you have the whole Twilight thing.
The worst kind of vampires.
Teenage vampires.
Yeah, oh, there are so many movies about high school. That must tap into, like, this high school power fantasy of being special. And
well, I think so. And
like
nostalgia.
That.
You know, people, anyone will watch about high school because they'll be able to think back to, back when I was in high school.
Which,
you know, I think there's a lot of that going on, too. For me, honestly, it's more, back in high school. But I think that's it. I think we're done. Bye. You can use that if you want. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you.
You should do it more, with less apathy.
But it is Apathetic Thursday. Should you take two?
Okay. Top ending, episode 16, take two.
Well, I think that's it for tonight. That's episode 16.
Spoiler! Podcast is over.
We need a horn or something for that. So, we'll leave you with that. Phil and Jonas, anything to add? I'll take that as a no. We'll leave it with that. So, until next time, bye. That was a little better.